The lady who wrote this story, The Way to Start a Day, is named Bird Baylor. She's lived in southern Arizona for a long time, a little bit south of Phoenix, close to Tucson, right near the U.S.-Mexico border. Has anybody ever been to that part of Arizona? Yeah, a few people. I never have. Some of Bird Baylor's friends and neighbors are members of the Tono Adam people who live on a reservation close to her home. She's learned a lot from them, and it comes out in the stories that she tells about the land and the people and the sun and the way to start a day. I did not know very much, or really hardly anything, about the Tono Adam people myself, but I wanted to learn about them so that I could share something about them with you. And what I found out is really amazing. The Tono Adam people, first of all, they've lived on the land where their reservation is for thousands of years. Let's see a picture of what their land looks like. Yeah, can you all see that? What do you see in that picture? Do you see mountains? Yep. And cactus? What else do you see? Yeah. Bushes? Some dirt? That's kind of red dirt, isn't it? So that's what their land looks like, at least that little bit of it. Let's see exactly where that is on a map. So here's a map showing the red part on that map shows where the reservation is. But the yellow part, which is a lot bigger than the red part, is where their traditional land is, where their ancestors lived, the whole place that they feel like is their home. So that's bigger, obviously. And today, it is partly in what we call the United States and partly in Mexico. Right now, there are about 34,000 people in the Tono Adam tribe right now, and 2,000 of those 34,000 people live in Mexico. They're friends, they're family, they like to go back and forth, they like to see each other. So here we have, let's have the next slide. Here we have the tribal chairman and vice chairman walking along the fence that currently divides their home on the reservation with Mexico. That border goes right through the land that they feel is their home. And right now, that is even more of a big deal than usual. Can anybody guess why? Yeah, I think you can. So we know that there are a lot of people in our country right now that want to build a wall along the border, but the Tono Adam people really do not want that. They do not want a giant wall cutting them off from their friends and relatives on either side, cutting them off from places that are sacred to them. They have religious rituals where they need to be able to cross the border. And they're also worried about the animals that live on the land. Let's see the next slide. Ooh, who's this? So some of the animals really need to migrate across the border. Others, like this jaguar, just need a lot of land to survive. The Tono Adam people love the land and the people and the creatures that live on it. They want to protect what they love and to be of service. And so in this moment, they have become activists. They have a website. They've launched a protest campaign against the border wall. They have a video up on YouTube that you can watch. The title of the video is, "There's No Autumn Word for Wall." They've testified at hearings. They've issued press releases. They're speaking as loudly and acting as forcefully as they possibly can to stop the wall that would divide them from the people that they love and which would harm the land and the animals that they also love. So I think about what they're doing to witness for what they believe is right. And I think that there is a lesson for us here, too. I will say, though, the Tono Adam people have been living on their land for thousands of years, and not many of us know what that is like, to have that deep, deep, long-term connection to place. So can we check in about that? I wonder how many of us in this room, how many of us, raise your hand if your family has lived in the same spot for, let's say, 50 years or more. Anybody? Wow, we've got some people here. You are our deep-rooted people. Notice I'm not even going to start with thousands of years because I think most of us, that's probably not where we are. How about if your family has lived in the same spot for 40 years? Anybody? 40 years or more? Yep. Okay, 30 years or more? A few? Wow, we've got some longevity here. How about 20 years or more?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. 10 years or more? What about 3 years or more? Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, I can't even raise my hand. 1 year or more. This is where I get to raise my hand. Anybody less than 1 year live in a place? Yeah. So on the whole, we don't move around. We move around quite a lot. Most of us do not stay in one place for all our lives, certainly. And I'm thinking, as we start to think about the ritual that we're about to celebrate for our Bridger, graduating from high school and entering into young adulthood, I'm struck by how much in this culture it is a rite of passage for young people to leave their homes. So that's something that's part of our culture, something we encourage and celebrate. So even though many of us do not have that kind of deep, deep, deep connection to one place, still, every single one of us is called to love. And every single one of us is called to service. So I want to now say a few words to the young people, especially in the room, because as you all begin to grow up, there are two really, really big, important things that I hope that you will come to know about yourself. And the first thing is this: know who you are and know what you love. Know who you are and know what you love. And what I really mean by this, because it might seem obvious, know who you are, well, you're just yourself, right? But it's not always that obvious, because what I really mean is that all of us have to find a way to be ourselves. And that actually takes work. All of us face a lot of pressures. We face peer pressure from our friends. We face pressures from our families about how we're supposed to be. All sorts of pressure to be a certain way, to think a certain way, to act a certain way. And sometimes when that's not really who we are, we really have to work hard to be ourselves. So there's a line in a poem by Mary Oliver, one of our great Unitarian Universalist poets. She died just recently. This line in her poem says, "You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Let the soft animal of your body love what it loves." And what I think that means is that all of us, each one of us, you know how to love. And the things that you love might be different from the things that somebody else loves, but your things are yours. And the people you love are yours. And all those things and all the people that we love, they are ours and they anchor us. They help us belong. They make a space for us in this wide universe we sang about, a space that is just ours. And they show us who we are. The things we love show us who we are. So I wonder what are some of the things and the people that we love. I'll share one of the things that I love is lakes. When I was a little girl, I grew up on a lake, and there's something about lake water that just makes me so, so, so happy. I really love it. Would anybody else like to call out something or somebody that you love? We'll just call out a few things. What do you got? What do you love?
The forest.
The forest? Somebody said their mom.
Moms.
Yep, moms. Absolutely. Yes. What else?
Grandchildren.
What's that?
My grandchildren.
Grandchildren. Amen.
Flowers.
So there are a lot of things to love, and knowing who you are and knowing what you love is just one of the very big and important things that I hope everybody will know, and especially our young people as they grow. And the second thing I hope everybody knows and comes to know about themselves is to know how you are called to serve. Know how you want to offer. Oh, hey, Estrella, what's going on? Oh, you love all your family. That's so awesome. Oh, thank you for sharing that. So all of us need to figure out what we have to offer to the world, the special things that only we can do. And for a lot of us, I think that really does come straight out of what we love. The people we love, we want to help them, right? And the things we care about, the things we love, we want to protect. So I hope that you will all let yourself love and let yourself serve out of that love. I'll share one quick example from my life. One of the ways that I really care about serving is to make sure people who are LGBTQ feel really loved and respected in this world and know how amazing they are. And the reason that that is important to me, the very first reason that that's important to me, is that years and years ago, one of my really good friends came out to me and shared some stuff about how just the struggles that they've been through around that. And it just made me really sad that they had been struggling and I didn't even know. And once I knew, I just felt so strongly that I wanted the world to be kind to them and love them. And so I felt like, well, I can be a part of making it that way. And ever since then, that's been one of the ways that I feel really called to serve. And it comes out of that love that I have for my friend and just wanting them to be happy and safe in the world. Your story obviously will be different because you are different, but whomever you love, whatever you love, I hope that you will find a way to serve and support and protect what you love.